Good morning. First of all, let me thank you all being here on very short notice. We thought it was important to speak to you all sooner rather than later and to hopefully provide some answers to your questions. As you know, this morning we released Mike Smith from his contract. As all NFL owners learn, some end-of-the-season decisions are more difficult than others, and I will tell you that probably including my 23 years at the Home Depot, this is the most difficult decision that I've ever had to make. And I mean that very sincerely. It was complicated by the deepest respect that that I have and we all have for Smitty, his many contributions to our team and community during his seven-year tenure, and by a season that was disappointing but promised hope right up to the very last game. This was not a decision that was based on one season or even two seasons, certainly not on one game. It's about looking forward and making sure we have the right structure in place and the leadership in place to provide to take us to the next level, which is what we've promised to Atlanta, to our fans, to all our stakeholders, everybody in the city and the state. I could not have more respect for Smitty personally than I do, and a great deal of respect for him from a professional perspective. He demonstrates and has demonstrated without fail all of the qualities that one would look for in an individual, and he coached every minute of every game with intensity, with resolve, with integrity, and putting it all on the line for himself, for his coaches, and for the players, and for Atlanta. And that was reflected in our players playing hard and our coaches' commitment to winning. Those of you who have been around the game of football, many of you have for many years, understand it's a difficult process to dissect the various pieces that go into building a winning team. It's leadership, it's talent, it's training, it's coaching, it's playtime, it's injury factors, it's chemistry, it's culture, to name but a few ingredients. We need to ensure that all of these piece parts are together, working together to succeed at the highest level, and we'll spend a lot of time this offseason addressing each one of these to make sure we're as best positioned as we can as we go forward. I think our fans, and I think all of you in the media and throughout the NFL would agree that Smitty has laid a new and stronger foundation for our team since he joined us in 2008. I want to remind everybody, not that you need to be reminded, but it's a good reminder, a time like this, to reflect back that he led this team to the first back-to-back winning seasons in then our 43-year history. 43 years, never back-to-back winning seasons. Smitty not only did it twice, but then added on three more on top of that. He advanced to the playoffs in four of his first five seasons with us, including two NFC division titles. On top of that, he fostered an environment of winning and teamwork across the entire building at Flowery Branch, and in many ways was a role model as a coach throughout the National Football League. And to sum it up, and it's not easy to say this because it's really not a matter of opinion, it's a matter of fact, that Smitty was the most successful coach in the history of this franchise. And you all should reflect on that in your comments and your thoughts about him personally as well as him from a professional standpoint. We're grateful to Smitty for all that he has done, and our goal is to build upon the foundation that he has left for us and to build for the future success of our team. We wish Mike, Julie, Logan, his daughter, all the best, and we thank them for their dedication to the Falcons over the last seven seasons. So while this is a professional relationship that's coming to an end, there will always be their family, and Smitty will always be counted as a friend and part of our Falcon community and part of my family. I had a Good meeting this morning with Smitty, as good as it could be under the circumstances, and I will not share any of it with you other than the last thing that Smitty said to me is that I love you, and I said the same thing to him. Looking forward, our aspirations for this team are unchanged. We want to win championships. We need to win championships, and we need to put rings on the rings of all of our fans in the city of Atlanta and the state of Georgia. We're committed to doing that, and that's the standard of excellence. That's the standard of performance we expect from everybody. So as steward of this team, which is what I've called myself since 2001, when we were blessed having an opportunity in representing Atlanta and the Falcons in the National Football League, I need to focus not only on the short term, but more importantly for me on the long term. We all want to succeed at the highest levels, and I need to do what I think is necessary to make that happen. So this is really not about the past, it's more about the future, and that's really what drove today's decision. We are proceeding with a search for a new head coach starting today. We have a small internal group that's working, involved in this search, and we utilize any other resources that will be helpful in the process. We'll begin conducting interviews as soon as possible, working with the league's very strict hiring guidelines, which we can discuss with you later if you have questions about them. What's most important is that we find the best person to fit the profile we think is necessary to continue to take the Falcons to the next level, to build upon what Smitty and Thomas and others have contributed to get us to where we have been during that five-year run. We'll be looking for a coach who has the attributes, who's a great leader, someone who has a clear vision for success, someone who has the motivational skills, someone who's bright and decisive, somebody who's flexible, somebody who believes in developing players and placing coaches in the appropriate roles to maximize their success as well as the players' successes. And obviously somebody who represents the best cultural values of our organization, both on the field and off the field. Since this is a competitive process, we will not share information with you, not surprisingly, about who we're going to talk to. And we know you understand that, and we hope that you will honor that, which is a request on my part. In addition, we're not prepared to lay out a timetable other than the fact that we are beginning to focus on that today. We are focused on finding the right candidate as quickly as is feasible. How long that'll take, we're not sure. We'll do it as quickly and as efficiently, as long as we're effective in doing that, as we can. Many of you will have other questions about other potential changes on the football operations side of our club, and I'll try to clarify that to the extent that I can now. Our first order of business is the head coach search, and Thomas, as our general manager, will participate in the search. We want to let this process play out to identify the best candidates and learn more about the quality of the coaching pool, and this will help us determine if we'll make any other changes to the structure of any parts of the football operations team that we have in place. So hiring the head coach is the first move, but it may not be the only move that we'll need to make. Only time will tell. The process will dictate that as we dive more into some of these issues. In the meantime, I can assure you that I will do what we need to do and what's right for the future prospects of your team, of the city's team, of the region's team, and of the state's team. Thomas and Rich are both here today, and I'm going to ask them to take questions along with myself. And I would ask you to honor the fact that we have lots of other business priorities that are immediately pressing us now, and some other family ones that are critical as well. So I'll be happy to answer any of your questions now, and Thomas and Rich, if you'd join me up here, I'd appreciate it. I'm going to ask you to direct your questions to me. I'll answer the ones that I can or should, and I'll defer the other ones to Rich or Thomas. So Since Coach always starts with Darryl, I probably should do the same thing. You may not have any questions, though.
Oh, no, I have.
I don't know. Okay.
In assessing or in making this decision, did you assign greater blame to the coaching than as to the assemblage of the talent that he was provided with?
You know what I've learned in life, and I'm probably older than most people in this room, is that blame is for God and children. So I don't, I'm not in the blame game. I think the results are a combination of a variety of things. I've said this to Smitty. I said it to him this morning. If the buck stops with him, it certainly stops with me as the owner of the franchise. So I take responsibility for it's my job is to have the right head coach and coaching staff and the right general manager and general manager staff and football operations staff. So I think that Thomas would be the first to tell you there's responsibility for all of us. How that you know, portions out, Darryl, is one of the reasons that you guys all have a job, because you love writing about it and debating it. So.
And what's the status of the assistant coaches moving forward?
Thomas or Smitty, you guys want to answer that question? Thomas or Rich?
Yeah, right now we're going to, Smitty's going to address his coaches today, and then we'll address the coaches over the next day and a half about their contract situation. And that's about all I can discuss right now.
The great majority is only a handful of coaches that are not on the contract currently for 2016. Obviously, whoever the next head coach is, we would expect that individual to carefully assess our coaching staff, and we have a lot of very fine coaches. Whether or not they'll all fit, you know, the philosophy, the style, you know, et cetera, of the new head coach, only time will tell. And I think that's a decision that the new head coach will make. But we certainly will make that staff available to whoever we select.
Arthur,
yes, sir. I'm sorry. Well, it's that's a good question. It's primarily we'll be using our staff within our building. We've got a lot of very talented people, two of which are sitting to my left, and others that have been through this drill. Joe Banner is somebody that's got great experience. Philadelphia had an incredible record there with their owner Jeff Lurie and Coach Reed, et cetera, and. Is very familiar through the Cleveland process of a lot of the more recent candidates. And Korn Ferry has been involved in a number of searches the last few years. They only do one club per year, as you might expect. And the last 2 years, they brought two outstanding coaches to the NFL, one for the Texans and Bill O'Brien, and one for Kansas City, Coach Reed. I want to comment on that, if I can, since you raised that. And I discussed that with Smitty this morning. So I be really clear on that. And I'm if I'm not clear on it, please ask a follow-up question. Okay. It's my job as the owner to look around corners and to represent this franchise and to think about the future. It's our job to think about all the what-ifs, just the way a coach does during a football game or during a season. And a general manager thinks of personnel during the season. So discussions we've had with Korn Ferry, the firm, internally, have all been about process, about process. There has not been one phone call made to any coach. There's been not one phone call made to any agent from anybody, either inside or outside of this organization. Smitty understands that, and I'd like you to please be clear when you do that reporting, okay? The other comment I would make to you is that while some people in this room were critical of wherever the leak came from regarding Korn Ferry and how it may have been a distraction to Coach Smith, he would say it was not. I would also say to you the week before when CBS reported similar reports and we beat the crap out of the Saints in New Orleans, I didn't hear a lot of reporting about was that a distraction, because obviously it wasn't. So this was about the way we performed and, to Carolina's credit, the way they performed. You know, they performed, you know, beautifully on the field, and we didn't. Period.
Were you upset that that story was so prevalent just a few hours before game time? Did that bother you?
Stake, you know, we live and you live in the world of media. If stories are not there, you guys manufacture them. That's your job. I understand it. It comes with the territory. It's a very high-profile industry. And I don't mean that in a negative way. It's just the nature of the industry. When you have the kind of 2 years that we've had, winning four games and winning six games, the nature of that is going to be a lot of speculation. And I would say, in that regard, there are people in this room, and some of which are not in this room, that speculated 2 months ago that the coach should be gone. And there are some people in this room and are not in this room who actually wrote that and said that on radio and on TV. That did not come from this organization. Smitty could not have had stronger support than he did for me, for my general manager, for Rich, and from a number of other people as well.
Mr. Black, realizing you have a ton of people to help you make this decision, at what point, or is there a point where a guy like Matt Ryan, who made a major investment in, will be involved maybe in the process?
Matt will not be involved in the process, and don't take that as a criticism of Matt. I love Matt personally as well as professionally. He's had an up and down year for us, a difficult game yesterday. He'd be the first to tell you that. But he's not, you know, he's a great fan of Smitty's, as I am personally, and in many ways from a professional standpoint. But we understand the kind of coaching that Matt needs, the offense needs, the defense needs, et cetera, special teams needs, et cetera. So, we're not going to include a lot of players in that process, including Matt.
I'm sorry, at what point did you decide to move?
As I said in my comments, this was a long-term decision we made. It's hard to say exactly when. You go through a lot of different scenarios in your mind, wins, losses, type of wins, type of losses. Do you think you have the right staff that can actually take you to the next level? And fundamentally, as the steward of this franchise, I have to challenge myself and challenge our organization, our leaders, and ask myself and ask them, is this the group that will take us to the next level? Do they have the capacity to take us to the next level? And it's a very difficult decision to make. I've learned that in business at the Home Depot. And I've seen it in this business as well. Sometimes you have people that you're close to personally, that you care a lot about, that you go to war with, that you're in the trenches with, that you care about their families, et cetera. To make those tough decisions is very challenging. And that was certainly the case with Mike Smith.
Can you talk about your expectations?
Well, there's no rush. We'll get everybody soon if they jump on each other. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could say it about the owner. Why not the owner? I would say to you that, go back to my comments, and I'm not really being evasive. I think it's a fair question. Thomas can comment on it as well. I would say we have a tremendous number of skilled players. Were they performing to the level that they're capable of? That's, you know, that's debatable. Which piece parts are missing? That's debatable. Again, that's one of the things that makes the NFL beautiful, is everybody likes to discuss that and debate that and have opinions about it. Whether you're informed or not is kind of unimportant. It's all part of the beauty of the NFL. As I said, we'll go through the coaching process. We'll see where that takes us. I've said this to Thomas, that every part of our football operations will be under scrutiny. This may stop, may be finished today. It may not be finished today. I don't know where we're going to end up with this. Thomas is our general manager. He will be part of the internal team that will help us look for the next coach. and we'll have to see where that takes us. And that's as good an answer as I can give you today. Thomas, you want to add to that or comment on that?
I think what I'd add is there's no question. Smitty and I work closely together on building this football team. We're very proud of what we have done over the 5 years. The 2 years obviously have not been what we've wanted. I take a great deal of responsibility for what happens with this organization and the team building that has taken part or taken place. And we think we have some good football players on this team. We also know that I have made mistakes, and I know that I'm going to be scrutinized for it. I know that I have, over the last months, looked at every different aspect of our football operations, you know, as far as what needs to be adjusted, as far as myself and my approach to things as well. So I am responsible as much as Smitty is for this organization and the success of this organization and the downfall of this organization.
Vaughn, I'm sorry. We'll try to get you in a minute.
Yeah, I was going to ask you the same thing about what are your expectations
okay. You want the same answer? Are you ready to pass the mic to somebody else? Or it's,
no,
okay. Okay. Well, you already got the answer then.
I mean, definitely you need to.
Right. Well, we're happy with a lot of them. I mean, we've got a lot of great players. But do we have as many as we need? Probably not. Do we have holes? Probably yes. How best to fill them will be in large part up to the new coach, their assessment of the team, their assessment of our players, working with our personnel department and seeing where that takes us. As I said a minute ago, we're just going to continue to go through this process and see where it any other changes that we feel are appropriate to make going forward. Yes, sir. Yeah.
When you're in the room discussing the front office situation, can I ask who's actually part of that conversation? I'm assuming Thomas is part of the conversation, not Mike. Who's in the room?
Again, that's going to be an internal discussion we'll have. I'm not sure who'll be in that room. At the end of the day, the decision will be mine. And I mean that, you know, we played extraordinarily well, you know, in a building that we don't have a history of playing
exactly.
Really well
and
can.
Right.
Yeah, they absolutely played for Smitty. They were playing for Smitty. It may not have looked that way through 60 minutes on the field there yesterday. And I would say since Green Bay, inclusive Green Bay, even though it was a loss, this team played better on defense. Our running defense was certainly better up until yesterday. Our passing offense was certainly better up until yesterday. So there was definitely a trend, I thought, in the last three or four games to indicate that we were playing better.
But was the die already cast before that?
It wasn't cast, Ken. Yeah.
Well,
I think you constantly reflect when you're making this kind of decision, Ken. You go up and back, you know, thousands of times a night and reflect on all the components. And as I said earlier, and I mean it sincerely, at the end of the day, one of the most difficult decisions a leader has to make in any institution or any business is ask yourself, can the people I have in place take me to the next level, take the organization to the next level? And if you don't like the person, it's easier to make that decision. If you like the people involved, it becomes very difficult. In this case, as Smitty said to me, you know, I love you. I said to Smitty, I also love you. So this is a very difficult personal decision for me to make. But again, in terms of what's right long term, for our franchise and for our ability to get to the championship levels on a sustained basis and wear rings for Atlanta, not for us personally, but for Atlanta, I felt it was the right move to make.
That being the case, Arthur, winning yesterday, winning a home playoff game, safe to say that would not have affected Mike Smith's job status.
We wouldn't be having, if we won yesterday, stake, obviously wouldn't be having a press conference this morning. Now, how that would play out going forward is all speculation. So I'm not in the speculation business. You are. I'm not.
Had you made a decision?
I had not made a decision.
You had not made a decision until?
I had not made a decision about if we had won, what our next step was going to be.
Arthur, that story in the morning of the Saints game said an Arthur Blank confidant
It didn't say, it didn't use confidence, it said leak or sources, as it usually does, which is a lot of times what you guys do, is that you get information and from a variety of sources and you attribute it to leak sources or leaks or whatever it may be. So wherever it came from. We had nothing to do with it.
Do you assess, though, who maybe you actually do give information to?
All the time. We always do that. And the people internally involved in our discussions, I have complete confidence in and have reason to have confidence in them over many years. We've had many, many, many private, personal discussions about a variety of things which have never, quote, gotten out. Once you begin this process, whether it be media, friends, agents of other people, agents who make up stories to promote their own coaches or their own opportunities, things come from a variety of ways. It's just the nature of this business. And I don't mean that in a mean way. I don't. It's understanding the environment that you're working in. And when you win 10 games out of 32 over a two-year period of time, you are going to run into this kind of situation. We have limited control over it.
Obviously, we're here for one move and one reason.
But yes, sir.
I mean, is it fair to say that you're going to take this and look at it as an opportunity to look at the entire operation?
Yeah, I've said that three or four times. The assessment has begun. Where it'll end, I can't tell you. As I said earlier, it may be over, you know, at this point, it may not be. We will review every part of football operations and make sure we have the same standard in place throughout.
Arthur, I understand.
Is that
fair? Yeah, I guess the other thing I'd ask would be if there's anything that's not negotiable in a head coach, like qualities that you're looking for. I know you laid out some of them.
Right. Well, I think you want, I would say the one thing, I mean, there are a whole variety of things probably, but you certainly don't want somebody who I think would not represent the brand of Atlanta, the brand of our fans, our organization well, both on and off the field. I think no matter how many wins we have, we don't want a head coach or anybody in this organization that doesn't represent our team the way our fans would expect us to do that. So that eliminates, I don't know who, probably not very many people, but that's at a minimum.
Mr. Black,
yes, sir. Let me just, yeah. I'll get, yeah.
What do you take out of the previous times you've been through this process? Good, bad,
yeah.
Indifferent?
I think it's a really good question. In my opinion, it's just my opinion, I think it's less important as to whether the head coach is an offensive coordinator-minded coach or defensive. I think the attributes for a head coach start with being a great leader, having a clear vision, being able to articulate it, being able to motivate, and in every business, being able to hire the best people, in this case, coordinators, coaches, et cetera, give them clear direction. And this business does require creativity and flexibility, not only from year to year, from season to season, but from game to game and within the game. So somebody who has an adaptive mind, who can think around corners and think ahead in terms of what they may be facing.
You feel better equipped to determine that now than you did say
years ago? Yes, I would say so. Even I learned.
Mr. Mike, you said there may be changes coming forward.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Thomas is our general manager. If there's any changes, we'll let you know about that. So.
Can you speak to what most callers and folks, just in a clear way, you're firing your head coach, you're keeping your general manager, and why it is, why that decision was made and why they have faith moving forward in Thomas in that role?
Okay. So this is the fifth or sixth time I've answered the same question. We've made a decision about the head coach today. So maybe I'm not being clear, so I'll try to be clearer. We've made a decision about the head coach today. Everything relative to football operations outside of the coaching is up for scrutiny and for discussion, everything. Okay, so we haven't finished that process. We've started it today. So is that, I mean, I'm not really.
Other organizations, so, they just fired their head coaches and GMs.
Right. That's other organizations, and we're Atlanta, and I can't speak for what they did in New York. I can't speak for what they did in Chicago. You'll have to call their owner and discuss it with them. No. Yes, sir.
You mentioned the attributes of being a great leader, being able to motivate. Obviously, different coaches have different ways of doing that. Smith was a player's coach, open door policy, that kind of thing. Do you have a philosophy in mind? Do you think it's the best way to approach?
Well, I think, you know, the quality of being a player's coach, in my opinion, is important. I would say that, and I relate that not only to football, but, you know, any institution, any business I've been associated with, I think if a leader can relate and does relate well to the associates, whether it be football players or staff associates in a foundation or running a PGA business or any of our other businesses, the more that that leader can relate to the individuals, I think it's important to do that. It enables them to be the kind of motivational leader and the inspirational leader, because I think they can look at their leader in whatever their title is and see that they can relate to them and understand their issues and their opportunities and their challenges. Yes, sir. Correct. I'll be involved in the search completely. So I'll be in the middle of that process, along with everybody else. And I'm a very good listener. I've got a great internal team to my left here that has a lot of experience. Other people who will be involved internally have a lot of experience. Other folks that we'll use on the outside have a lot of experience as well. So we'll go through the process as diligently and as thoughtfully, and as with as much painstaking detail as we can, and we'll come to a collective decision. But at the end of the day, the decision will be mine. Yes, sir.
No.
Had nothing to do with it. I mean, the question was raised, I think, whether it had to do with a new stadium or things of that nature. Well, it's, you know, the greatest organizations, in my opinion, the NFL, are the ones that create stability over a long period of time. And that's been my goal. This team has been together for 7 years, and they did remarkable work during a five-year period of time. I mean, without, as I said earlier, without a question, Coach Smith, this doesn't take away individually from the other coaches, but the record that Mike Smith put up during that five-year period of time is unmatched in the history of this franchise. So stability, sustainability, the ability to continue to put forward year after year is really what we're about. Same time, as I said earlier to the question that you asked, is that you challenge yourself. I challenge myself. Rich, Thomas, others challenge themselves. And you ask the question, we're at this level. Can this group get us to the next level? Can they get us to the next level? And if you don't come away with an affirmative on that, you have to have the courage to make the difficult decision, in this case a brutally difficult personal decision, because of my affection for Thomas, I mean for Thomas, for Smitty and Thomas, but in this case Smitty and his family.
Considering the success that the team did have under Coach Smith, what was it about that made you think he wouldn't be the person to take the next level?
You know, I really don't want to get into, you know, of the components I listed, which ones, you know, I think if you look at the results for the last couple of years, we all could theorize as to which pieces of that were not his strengths. He had tremendous strengths in a variety of areas, and in my opinion, will, you know, become a head coach again in the National Football League. When I'm not sure, but in my opinion, that'll happen again for him, and it should. I think in Atlanta, at this point in time, where we are as an organization, this was the right move for our franchise and for the best interest of all of our stakeholders.
Your
Arthur, as you said, you're going to evaluate all aspects of the operation. Would you consider bringing in another general manager or someone else to work with Thomas in the future?
I'd answer the same. I mean, honestly, this is the. I mean, what?
Speculation from print media, from radio.
No, I mean, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry I'm not being articulate enough here this morning. But we, this is painful for me to continue to repeat it. We've made a decision about our coach and our coaching staff. We've announced that. At the same time, we've announced that all other parts of our football operations will be under scrutiny and be part of this process until we find a head coach. Where that takes us, I cannot tell you.
Thomas, can I ask you about, as disappointed as you are with not having your Smitty as your head coach, how excited are you to be able to be in the process to figure out who the next head coach can be and maybe kind of changing? Clearly the team, after these last 2 years, needs something to change. Are you excited about the process of getting to talk to and make a decision on bringing somebody else in?
Well, as I mentioned, I mean, my relationship with Smitty was second to none in this league, and I'm very proud of it. Moving forward, my focus is to do what's best for this organization, for Arthur and his organization and the rest of the organization, and focus on what we need to do to help us get to being a championship organization. And partnerships between head coaches and general managers are paramount for the success of, you know, for the successes in this league. And we're all focused on the next steps.
Have you been thinking about in your head certain guys or certain names that that intrigue you, or guys you've been thinking about, given the fact this was a possibility?
You know, Stake, I've been focused on beating Carolina, and unfortunately we didn't. So my head has to change towards obviously something that's at hand.
You know, Randy, I think the first thing I would start with is in, if you went back to 08 and we had this press conference in 08 and we talked about Bobby Petrino and we talked about the search, we talked about the fact that the franchise was really destabilized. The franchise quarterback that was, you know, the hero of the town was gone. The coach had left. We were in a really tough spot. And I thought that Arthur did a fantastic job of kind of leading us through that search process. We took our time, and we needed to find a head coach and a general manager that were going to help, first and foremost, stabilize the franchise, because the franchise was not stable. And I don't know that you can give Mike Smith and Thomas enough credit for not just stabilizing the franchise, but bringing it to create a whole new foundation of where we are. I think we need to look at this search as building from that foundation. We're in a good place. This is a good franchise that has a lot of tools in the shed to work from. This is not the franchise that they came into. If you write one thing about Mike Smith, and you'll write a lot, but he just can't get enough credit for, you know, a building that really was challenged both in the player side and the organizational side, and he through his leadership and who he is, really helped us create an environment that I think we're all proud to work at. So I think in this search, you know, Arthur will lead the search again, as I went through it with him before. But we'll look for maybe different qualities in the sense of the foundation is very good, and this person is not coming into a destabilized situation. They're coming into a pretty good situation that we're very confident we can compete for championships very quickly. So I would. That's how I would answer the question, Randy.
One of the questions that you're not asking, but y'all might be curious about, and Rich can answer it, I think, just to give you a chance to think about some more questions, Darryl. But about the logistics of the interviews. League, some of you understand them, some of you don't. The league has very precise, strict rules about the process. So, would you take a minute, Rich, and share with everybody
Sure. So the hiring guidelines, and I'm sure they're published somewhere for all of you to have access to, just talk about the idea that if you're going to interview coaches from other teams in the league, you have to ask for permission. That permission, you know, will be granted if you're going to interview for a head coach position. If a team has a bye, then that coach is eligible to be interviewed this week, all the way through the conclusion of the playoff games on Sunday. If the team does not have a bye and is playing in the wild card week, then you cannot interview until next week. If the team has been eliminated from the playoffs, then obviously you can interview them this week. That's kind of the guidelines. The one thing that does apply here is with respect to teams that have a bye and that you've decided to want to interview one of their coaches, if you ask for it, it is up to them, meaning that team, to determine when you'll interview that coach and where you'll interview that coach. Obviously, we don't want to disrupt their preparation for their game. So that's kind of the basic rules.
So we'll be on the road a bit, and we'll be submitting a request later today for a number of candidates. We'll be submitting some requests later today. Who'll be on that list, you know, we'll see. But we're discussing that later today as well.
All right, she's somebody who's been around the league for a long time, and you know there's competition for every head coaching candidate out there. What kind of advantage do you think having Matt Ryan on the roster gives you guys?
Big. You know, having a quarterback on a lot of head coach situations that they come into, you know, that's one of the biggest missing pieces there is, and that's a tough piece to get.
Let me answer Dave Archer's question a little bit differently because it's a good question. I would say the greatest contribution that Matt can make to this process he has already made, and that's by being here. When you talk to head coaches, not now, but just, you know, anytime at all in the NFL, they always start with if you have a quarterback, you got a chance. And we have a great quarterback. So that's the greatest contribution that Matt can make to our ability to attract a decent list, a good list of coaching candidates. Yeah, I'm not whether or not they've had head coaching experience or not. I don't think, in my opinion, is not critical. I didn't list it as one of the attributes, and I wouldn't now. And the issue of power, I think, is unimportant to me. What's important to me is effectiveness, and we will structure the football operations around what we think the head coach's capabilities are, and what we think their strengths are, and we'll do the right thing for the franchise from that perspective. This will not be a power struggle. This will not be an issue of who has final say over what. It'll be an issue of who should be making these decisions, who's best capable of making these decisions, and the relationship. One comment that Thomas made, which I could not agree with more, there's not a successful franchise in the NFL for 1 year or beyond in any kind of sustainable way with a general manager and the head coach do not work together closely in a collaborative way. It doesn't mean they always agree, but it does mean they have not only – doesn't even mean they have to have personal affection for each other, but it does mean they have tremendous respect for each other, and they listen to each other, and it's a proper give and take.
On that note, Arthur, one of the reports was one of the advantages to this job, perhaps, over some of the other high-profile teams that are making changes is that Thomas is here, the relationship and reputation he has in the league. Seeing as you're going to be competing with other organizations to hire a head coach, do you think Thomas provides you with that kind of advantage that's been talked about in terms of attracting a head coach?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, Thomas's experience is certainly important. His experience before he came here was important. He's been here with us 7 years. He and Smitty worked together closely during those 5 years when we had those successes. It wasn't just about our head coach. It was about our general manager and our personnel and coaches and players. So I think all of those factors will be important. And depending on the candidate we're talking to, they may become either more or less important, depending on the individual.
Mr. Blank,
yes, sir.
What was at stake yesterday? How visceral did you feel that loss? The fans certainly did. Their
Well, I think it was a horrible loss. I think, you know, the week before we did what we thought we were capable of doing. This week we didn't do that. And, you know, I could not have expressed – I can't express it any more strongly than Smitty did yesterday. I mean, he was, you know, he was pretty brokenhearted, in my opinion, about the way the team performed. And the way he defines team, it's coaches starting with himself. He's always falling on the grenade first, coaches and players. I think he was very disappointed, and we all were. Everybody connected to the organization, and that's every fan connected, was disappointed in the way our team performed. Again, you know, I want to give Carolina credit for, you know, for their preparation and their coaching staff and their players. But we did not perform, obviously, the way that we wanted to in any phase of the game. And that is very disappointing.
Can I get an understanding of the
search
firm itself?
Say again?
Can I get an understanding of the search firm itself?
Yeah. Right. They're very familiar. Fortunately, we haven't been. It's on average the NFL coaches turn every 3.5 years. So we've been blessed. We've had 7 years with this coach, and as I said earlier, 5 winning seasons in a row after 43 years. So we haven't been through this process of late. Hence, a firm like Korn Ferry and using all the internal sources that we have is important in terms of the process. So they have the ability to help us go through the process in a disciplined way, to ask the questions that you're describing, press ourselves, what is it we're looking for, making sure we've asked those questions. There's no internal confusion about the kind of head coach we're looking for. Making sure our priorities are right, draw out the best thinking of our entire internal team, and help with that process. At the end of the day, they're not making a decision for us. We'll make that decision. But in terms of stepping through and doing it efficiently, they will help us with that. And they've done a very good job in the last couple of years for a number of the NFL teams. And I've spoken with other owners they've worked with and have been very positive about them.
Yeah. We discuss a lot about culture and how everything changed. Certainly since Smitty and Thomas has been
right
here, and Richmond people speaking more of this. Does it make this particular episode easier because of culturally this is where you expect to be?
Right.
As opposed to when you had Florida here and certainly Katrina, things have right changed
right
culturally.
Right. Well, I think that's what I was saying before, Ken. That's what makes it very difficult. I mean, you know, in the case of, you know, Coach Mora, and he might disagree with this, you go back and listen to the radio interviews in Seattle and you play those again and you don't feel good about, you know, who your head coach is, and our fans didn't, and I certainly didn't, and our organization didn't. In the case of, you know, Bobby Petrino, you know, when you're sitting up in the middle of the night and you're watching him do a press conference at Arkansas, when you thought he was your head coach, you know, 3 hours ago, and he committed to doing that, that doesn't feel very good. So this is a different individual, you know, in terms of his integrity and his honesty and his transparency. And I would say that about Thomas as well. Those are the same attributes that Thomas has as well. So from a cultural standpoint, you know, the fit could not have been better. Again, you know, Smitty would tell you, and he has said this, and I've heard him say this, he said it again yesterday, this is a league that's it's based on wins and losses, it's based on performance, it's the nature of the business that we're in. And as one of my associates reminded me the other day, I think it was Godfather 2, we were talking about it earlier this morning, or not this morning, but the other day, this is the business that we've chosen to be in. So it has certain qualities to it, but it's the business that we've chosen to be in.
Mr. Blaine.
Yes, sir.
While you compete against the Bob Crafts and the Dan Bruins,
right,
you also have a chance to observe and learn and interact.
Mm-hmm.
Just those are a couple of organizations,
right,
that are the epitome of stability. What do you think you've taken from your experiences now as an owner
that Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger and Peyton Manning, they matter, okay? It doesn't take away from their coaches or the general manager, and so does Matt Ryan. He matters. So, you know, you have to have a lot of other parts, Randy. But I think that you look at, you know, beyond the comment on the quarterback, I mean, you look at coaches in an organization, I think, that have a very clear vision on both sides of the ball on how they want to play. They don't waver from it. They may waver from game to game. I mean, Coach Belichick will run the ball 40 times in one game and pass it 50 times in the next game. And so that's adaptiveness, and that's creativeness. So it's not that but their ability to focus on exactly the way they want to play, with exactly the kind of players they want to play with, and the tenacity to do that in the draft and free agency and developing players and focusing their coordinators and their coaches to reinforce that every single day, I think is critical. And I think those two organizations you mentioned, and there are others as well, do an incredible job at that. And I would say in almost every case, it starts with the head coach, but with the philosophy that comes out of a tradition in those organizations. Yes, ma'am. Pain for me, pain for these two gentlemen, pain for our players. And as I said, you know, earlier, I think one of the things throughout my business career that I haven't had to do it very often, but at times you're faced in doing it, is that you're working with a leader, and you ask yourself in the cold light of day, can that individual or that individuals take you to the next level? And if the answer is no, in your heart of hearts, you have to put aside, which is very difficult to do in many cases, your personal affections and feelings about the individual and their families, and do what's right for the institution, the organization, and for the people that are supporting you. Fans have expectations of coaches and general managers and players. They also have expectations of owners. And when it's my job, it's my job. Today is my job.
Mark, are you surprised at how precipitous the drop-off was? I mean, you had 5 years of high levels of success.
Yeah, I would say so. I think that I think most people would say, and I think it's probably true, that most people would attribute, and I think generally it's been reported this way, that last year a lot of it was injuries. We had, I think, 10 or 11 players, I think, Thomas, on IR after the second game, close to that, that were either starters or important players. So I think our expectations this year, certainly starting with Smitty, with all of us, were substantially better than that. So when you look at 2 years back-to-back, and, you know, you all debate, and we can debate, you know, coaching, players, I mean, it's just, you know, there's many, many piece parts to this. Obviously, you know, 10 wins out of 32 opportunities in a two-year period of time. Again, without, in my opinion, without the ability to look forward and say this group can get us to the next level. If I felt this group could get us to the next level, we won 10 out of 32, and I really felt they would get us to the next level, we would not be having this press conference today.
So that is the final sort of ask and answer.
Yes. Yeah. That's what this is about. This is about championships, rings, not only hosting a Super Bowl, which we hope to do in our new stadium, but winning a Super Bowl, whether it be played in Atlanta or any place. That's what this is about. That's what I signed up for. That's what I committed to on behalf of our fans, on all of our stakeholders. Everybody connected to the organization, either directly or emotionally or passionately. That's my job.
Rich, you said something earlier about not feeling like we're that far away from competing for a championship. What do you base that on? And for Falcon fans right now that feel like that is a long way on the horizon, where's the hope that indeed we're not that far from that process?
Well, I think yesterday we played for a division championship, and albeit the record wasn't where we wanted to be, we did play that game for that. And I think that to Arthur's point and the point that was made earlier, I think, by Albert, we have a quarterback in Matt Ryan who is, in my mind, a terrific football player, an elite quarterback. I don't know what that phrase means, but I think it applies to him because I'm a big Matt Ryan fan, and I think we have a lot of players that will excite coaches that will look at this roster and say, yeah, it's not perfect. No roster in the NFL is, but it's a good roster. And I think that gives us a chance. We're in a much different
we'll
place.
We'll be okay because Phil Simms says yesterday that Matt Ryan is an elite quarterback. And Phil Simms is one of the brightest guys connected to the National Football League, I would say.
Do you think Matt Ryan played like an elite quarterback in 2014?
Who do you want to answer that?
Well, either one of you because you both talking about Matt.
Yeah.
Who you're paying is the highest paid guy.
I would say the way that Matt would answer the question, and Thomas is closer to him than anybody in this room, and Matt would say this was a difficult year for him with a lot of successes but more disappointments than he would have liked to have seen and probably more mistakes than he would have liked to have made. Now, you guys usually ask all the questions. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask Dave Archer a question. Dave's a quarterback. Well, what do you think Matt would say about his year?
I think Matt would say what he normally says is he takes care of the guys that are around him. He's going to say that I'm responsible. I don't think he had the opportunity to perform at the level he was capable of performing at because of the people he was surrounded by, particularly up front. I think yesterday he had no chance to compete at the level
right. And I would say, in defense of the people up front, we've had a tremendous number of injuries this year. And to their credit, with the Green Bay game, their ability to gel together and play together, certainly in defending him, was substantially better than it had been. Forget about rushing the ball, but certainly defending him and giving us an opportunity. And that's why I think you saw the passing yards in a number of games. I mean, Matt led the NFL for 4 weeks. In terms of that four-week period of time, not yesterday, the four-prior-week period of time, in terms of total passing yards of all quarterbacks in the NFL when he had time and he was properly defended.
Arthur, you mentioned Phil Simms talking about Matt Ryan. You had John Gruden on national television saying this team has no pass rush. Brian Billick earlier in the year saying there's a complete lack of talent on the defensive side. Are they just missing it?
Well, I think I have a lot of respect for both of them. They're both, have been great coaches. Both have won Super Bowls. So, I think, and Thomas can comment on this, Rich can comment on it. I obviously do think we have a lot of talent. Whether we have enough talent, and clearly we have not had the kind of pass rush for a number of years that I think is important in this league. I think we were talking about it earlier this morning. You can turn an ordinary quarterback, and Dave would comment on this, into looking like Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, or some version of that if they have plenty of time. If they don't have plenty of time, they're making decisions and often throwing the ball to the team that has the other uniforms on. Even the better quarterbacks in this league, when they're under tremendous pressure, they make more mistakes than they do if they're not. So in my opinion, pressure is a really big deal. And we have not had pressure. We just have not, for a variety of reasons. Now, you can get into that debate. Is it coaching? Is it scheming? Is it players? That's what makes your work so interesting.
Yeah,
Vaughn. Yeah.
Were you disappointed with the free agent acquisitions that you guys made?
I think, the design, and Smitty felt strongly about this. Mike Nolan felt strongly about this. I think Thomas certainly was supportive of it. Thomas can speak for himself, and I wish he would in this regard. But, I think Thomas had strong feelings that we needed to get more pressure. Smitty and Mike, I think, and others felt that we needed to build from the inside out. We needed to be able to stop the run, start with stopping the run. And that itself would, create opportunities. I think Coach Nolan, felt that with his schemes that he was able to put, enough pressure on quarterbacks. Certainly against the Saints, that was true. Against, probably a Hall of Fame quarterback. Didn't carry over. Wasn't there consistently throughout the year, for sure, Vaughn. and certainly wasn't there again yesterday. You want to comment on that, Thomas?
The only thing I'd say about that is, as Arthur has mentioned, this is a very collaborative organization. We work closely with the coaching staff, which is the only way it should be. A general manager should never force feed talent on a staff. Smitty and I worked together closely. Ultimately, it was my choice to agree to the free agencies and free agency moves, and that's what we did. And we feel we have some good players that we can continue to work with. I think they didn't they weren't making shiny moves here and there, and they weren't amassing sacks and such, but they held their own in the run game as they were supposed to. There were some ups and downs, no question about it. We think that they can be what we're looking for inside. Obviously, they're not a part of the necessarily the pressure we're looking for, as Arthur had mentioned.
Vaughn, let me just comment on that. If you look, the facts are is that we did not have a good run defense for the majority of the season. Putting aside yesterday, the previous four games we did, relative to the NFL, relative to our own performance. So there was definitely substantial improvement. But it doesn't really, one is stopping the run, the other is putting pressure on the quarterback. And we had improvement in stopping the run. There's no question about that. We did not, other than the Saints game, have improvement in really rushing the quarterback. And I've given you my opinion. Thomas, I can speak for him. He can speak for himself beautifully. But in my opinion, in our opinion, unless you pressure the quarterbacks in this league, you can have a problem. We could have 12 number 21s, Desmond Trufants, on the field, and they're not going to have enough time to cover the receivers in this league unless there's pressure.
Thomas, are you disappointed with the performance of this year's draft class as we talk about pressuring the quarterback in your second-round pick, which never really did that, and some of the other guys? Did you expect more from this class?
Well, no, I'm actually encouraged by this draft class as I am last year's draft class. I think there's some young guys that have potential that we're looking to. As far as Rashid Hegeman, Rashid continued to get more and more time and continued to make an impact along the defensive line, 17, 18, 19%, 20%. Obviously, it's tough to really, amass the numbers that you're looking for. We think that he has upside, no question about it. And, he was not drafted to come in and pass rush. He was drafted to be a guy that was going to be helping us build from the inside out.
We take one more question. So we started with Daryl. We should end with Daryl, I guess. And Vaughn, thank you for your patience. Really, in a serious way, before you all run out of here, I do want to thank you for covering our franchise and our team this year. It's been a difficult year for us. Many of you, if not all of you, are close to the organization and close to our players and coaches. So this is not a fun day for you all to write about the things you're going to write about and talk about what you talk about. I understand that. So I do really want to thank you for all of your efforts. And in behalf of your organizations, representing the fans, doing the probing, creating the controversies in some cases, and giving us often an opportunity to respond. So with that, Daryl, I'll give you the last question.
Yes, Mr.
This better be a good one, Daryl.
Yes, sir.
Okay, come on, buddy.
Given that Matt is set to enter his prime at 29, how pivotal is this process in the future of the franchise? I saw the Packers do the same thing. They have Brett. They were getting to the playoffs, couldn't get past Dallas and the 49ers, but eventually made the moves to get over the hump. Is that where you all at with Matt set to enter his prime at age 29?
I think it's a – first of all, congratulations. It's a very good question, the last question. So I think that, in my opinion, it's a critical time. I think that Dave Archer would tell you it's a critical time. Matt is at his prime or approaching his prime, will be in his prime. I think Matt, whether he's going to play as long as Peyton's going to play, which will probably be till he's as old as I am, Peyton, the way he's going. I don't know, I'm not sure if the guy's ever going to retire or should ever retire. But I think the next five, six, 7 years is going to be critical in terms of maximizing his talent and his ability to be our franchise quarterback and be our leader on the field. So I think, you know, this decision is a critical one in that regard. We want to make sure we take advantage of the opportunity. As I said before, he may not be part of the interview process, but his presence in this franchise and his presence on the team and in the community is going to be a very important factor for our success and in attracting, you know, we think, an outstanding list of candidates to be potentially our head coach as we go forward. Thank you all for being here today. Sorry about the short notice. Enjoy your new year. Thank you.